You've made it to Friday, everybody. Congratulations. It's BetQL Daily presented by BetMGM alongside Aaron Hawksworth and Joe Ostrowski. I'm Chris Mack. We are live coast to coast on the BetQL network and wherever you may be in the world in that Odyssey app, AUDACY. It's free. Download it today and take us with you wherever you're going, whatever you're up to. However early you plan on sneaking out of work or away from the laptop today, we will be with you, getting you ready for NBA play-ins tonight, Stanley Cup playoffs this weekend, the rest of the NBA playoffs. It's so much going on. 15 MLB games today, 16 tomorrow. We've got so much to get to, including, of course, the NFL draft, just six days away. And, oh, yeah, we'll go there in just a second. Another move on the line at number two in the first round. Don't forget to watch the show on Twitch, twitch.tv/BetQL. On YouTube, just search Odyssey Sports. Michael Leboff of the Action Network, Islanders fan extraordinaire as well. We'll excuse him for the second part of that. He joins us 1 hour from now to talk about the Stanley Cup playoffs. If you haven't been paying attention since, I don't know, last spring maybe, we will tell you exactly where to look, where the angles are as that gets started this weekend. We will go through each and every series in both the East and the West in the NBA as well. Plus, look at some NBA playoff props, stat leaders, things you need to know or be prepared for, markets to keep an eye on with the playoffs starting this weekend. Harrison Sanford, you see him on MSG Network and Stadium all the time, and host of the Inside the Green Room podcast with Danny Green, joins us in 20 minutes to get into that NBA playoff conversation. But it's happening again, Joe. We are getting movement on Jaden Daniels at number two. We are back to Daniels, minus 115. May, minus 115. They're both right there, neck and neck at number two for who the Commanders may take. Seems like that little quarterback powwow they had yesterday may have caused some rumblings. This is what happens when you do things unconventionally and a little bit differently. Maybe it's got some people feeling a certain way about what happens in Washington.
So is this what we are in store for the next 6 days? It kind of feels like we're trending that way. One day, Patriots, we're open for business. The team sitting at three. The next day, oh, you thought it was this guy? No. It's probably going to be the other guy. And if you look at all the mock drafts, it's split 50-50. We had Benjamin Robinson from Grinding the Mocks on yesterday. And at the time of that interview, where's the draft start? He kind of went against the grain. He said five. I wonder if right now he would say two, because it is just split down the middle. This is what typically happens. You get this at some point in the draft. If you get one set, this is what happens at two. It's one of those years where we've had one set for quite some time. Aaron, I just asked the fellas, Nick and Jenks, and they're still like, Daniels, like no questions asked. What's your vibe there?
So Jay Gruden, former Commanders head coach, was on another show this morning. He says Drake May, if he was the head coach. Because some say Drake May could become a mini Josh Allen. And then some say Jaden Daniels could become like a Lamar Jackson. Where are we on this? Every minute it's changing. And there's just enormous pressure on Washington to get this right. If anyone says they know what they're going to do, I'm not sure I believe them, because it's changing every day. And to get all these new pieces with Washington, the ownership, the GM, the head coach, the OC to all agree, I would be surprised if they don't even know right now.
So what was interesting to me is I was watching a little bit of ESPN this morning. I sent you guys the screenshot because that's where I first noticed the movement on the Daniels versus May line. And they were having an interesting conversation about Adam Peters. And I think this is the question. If you're Adam Peters, do you want to stick your neck out with the first pick for this team in this job, new ownership, everything that goes with it? Is this the kind of guy that makes that kind of move? And there is an argument for, yeah, definitely. He's the kind of guy that makes that move, that goes all in right from the start. Or, like we've talked about before, Aaron, GMs sometimes want to buy themselves extra time. They just do. They want to have a longer rope, a longer leash. So maybe you just play it safe and do what everybody expects you to do. In this situation, I don't want to call it playing it safe, because the quarterback market anymore in the NFL draft seemingly is always a roll of the dice. But I think I just go with the more talented guy in Jaden Daniels. Then I would have a bunch of people argue back at me. No. May's actually the more talented guy. I don't think you can screw it up by taking a quarterback who looks NFL ready and Jaden Daniels ready to do things with his legs as well as his arm. The other option, though, is if you really wanted to get crazy, you're Washington and you trade out of the spot and let someone else make the mistake.
They're not going to do that. I just read John Keim, who's been covering this team for a very long time, unless he's lying, Adam Peters just said in the last day that they are very comfortable at number two. I don't think they're going to trade out of that spot. What they do there, I think that is very up in the air, but I don't think they'll trade out of there.
I just kind of always go back to, if you don't know, then you're not 100% sold. But I would say with Peters, now I understand buying time, that whole argument. That makes a lot of sense. But that organization has been such a dumpster fire for so long. Mm-hmm. I would make the argument that Peters, with his resume, he might get two quarterbacks. He might have that opportunity. Mm-hmm. If other things are building up in the right direction. Listen, there is no perfect science. We still don't know in 2024 what it takes to identify a franchise quarterback. Some of it makes no sense why guys are some busts and some guys, you know, break through and have unreal careers. We're still trying to figure it out. And people act like they know. They don't know. They don't know. It's still that. That's why I truly believe that if you have that guy, that you should take a swing at some point in the draft every single year. But that's a different conversation. I think if Peters does other stuff right and the organization is coming together and there are positive signs aside from the quarterback, he might get two. And that would be a reason to swing early. If you wait, if you kick the can down the road and then you're building up for that quarterback and then you miss on that guy and then all of a sudden you look up and you've been there 5-6 years and haven't done anything, well, then you might get fired that way. So I think you could make an argument either way for job security. But I also hate that line of thinking, because that's
worked
not
so
your
well
job
the last
just
time
to be here as long as possible.
Worked so well last time Washington took two quarterbacks in the same draft.
They hit on one.
They kept the wrong one.
Kirk still played. Well, he was until last season. Yeah. But you know,
neither.
I thought
you
hit
made the
on
argument
Kirk.
Neither was a bust. I'm not calling injury a bust.
That's fair, I guess. It was the injuries that caused his game to devolve. Yeah, you know what? It's a fair point. Neither one, I guess, was technically a bust. They just kept the wrong one. And again, that wasn't even Adam Peters back then. But it's just the story of this franchise, right? When are they going to actually take a swing for the fences, connect, and you know, actually hit a home run on one? We'll find out if it's 6 days from today. And obviously, never. The confidently spoken from just outside the Commanders practice facility by Aaron Hawksworth. So NBA play-in games tonight. We talked about them at length yesterday. If you missed any of those conversations, by all means, you can download BetQL Daily as a podcast on demand. Go back to those segments where we talked about the NBA play-in games. I've already got my plays in. I told you yesterday, Moneyline, Bulls, and Kings. Have we changed the way we're thinking about these play-in games at all for tonight? Is there anything that sends us going off in a different direction than what we thought yesterday?
I just want to know if people are really going to be spending their Friday nights to see who the 8 seeds are in the NBA playoffs. So you're betting and you'll kind of check on your phone like throughout the evening?
I'll check on my phone or make sure it's on a TV wherever we're at. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I don't have a strong opinion on Bulls Heat. Props wise, yes. I think there are some angles there. I mentioned also yesterday on the show, Hero made threes. I don't see him having a shooting night like he did the other night. And Bulls give up a ton of 3-point attempts. Hero's going to take them, maybe even more so with Butler out of this one. So I know that was plus money yesterday. Didn't take a look this morning, but I expect him to take a ton of threes and make at least four of them. So I'm doing that. You know, if you go over on Coby White, I don't hate it based on what we saw the other day. And I thought there would be more of an overreaction to where his number is for points scored in this matchup. So Coby White's not bad. And Kings Pelicans, I was looking at props there. It's a props play-in night for me. Ingram, I expect him to take over because he's going to have to for the Pelicans to hang around in this one. And it's been a few games back from injury, so I think he's going to have a good night. I was looking at Alvarado. So I think the Pelicans' angles are interesting with no Zion, so there's going to be more opportunity for others.
Yeah, as for Bulls Heat, with Alex Caruso, you know, having a banged up ankle after he was stepped on, I was thinking who's going to step up. Only one book had Javonte Green prop, so over 9.5 points for him. I bet that this morning. Joe mentioned it. I was also looking at Tyler Hero. 5+ threes. It's only +175. He hasn't done 5+ a lot. And I was like, dang, I'm only getting +175 for him to just absolutely go off. It seems like it though, because the Bulls can't stop the three. The Bulls defense is really their weakness. Offensively, they're really good. They're good from three. I think they're 22nd in scoring this season. It's pretty legit. I like the Bulls in this matchup. Money line's interesting, but I'd probably just bet Bulls spread. And then as for the other one, I'm with you on the Kings -1.5. Not quite sure what other props I'm going to add. We know Keegan Murray went off in that one.
Yeah.
De'Aaron Fox had 24. I already bet quite a few props yesterday on these games. I added a couple more this morning.
Hawks is locked and loaded for the play-ins already.
I mean, we talked about I just looked up the Hero current numbers. Yesterday on the show, we talked about over 3.5 being +128. Now it's -150.
Yeah, out of control.
Now it's unbettable. Wow. That's why you have to react soon. It was plus money. What's changed? I mean, we knew Butler was out at that time. If that's
just more slow time, to move. More people to think about it probably and jump on it, right?
There had to be a group that gave that out too. There had to
yeah.
be.
Yeah.
Wow. Here's what I come back to with that Hero prop. You're right. He's going to chuck and duck all night, especially against the Bulls. Is he going to shoot like the fourth quarter on Wednesday, or is he going to shoot like the first three quarters and just clank everything? I mean, that's the question.
I almost want to get under on him now. Right.
Yeah. That's what's tough. The under 4.5? I mean, that might be the number.
But when a guy like Hero has a night like that and in a matchup like this, that's when I want to bet on him. I think that's why another reason that people are betting on him. Okay, what's the likelihood that he's going to do that again? Probably not in this matchup.
Again, against the Bulls defense. Very questionable. So things get started tomorrow in the NBA playoffs. Magic, Cavs, 1 o'clock Eastern, then Suns, T-Wolves, Sixers, Knicks, Lakers, Nuggets. All to get things going. We'll dive into each of these series, a little on the game ones as well. Plenty to get to with the NBA playoffs today. About an hour and 5 minutes from now, we'll start with a detailed look at the Eastern Conference series, and then 20 minutes following that, a detailed look at the Western Conference series. Like I said, plenty of NBA playoff props, stat leaders in each of the series, maybe that we like as well. 2-minute drill in the third and final hour of the show before we get you our lightning bets, maybe any NFL draft bets that we want to lock in with that thing, like Joe said, getting crazier by the day. Plenty to get into. Michael Leboff, as I mentioned, Action Network, top of the next hour, 45 minutes from right now to get you primed for the Stanley Cup playoffs as well. Coming up next, though, with all these playoff series on the board and things getting started tomorrow afternoon and the play-ins tonight, let's get some insight from a guy who's been watching it all year long. You see him on MSG Network all the time in Stadium, host of Inside the Green Room with Danny Green. Harrison Sanford joins us next right here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM. We are there. The NBA playoffs have arrived, or at least they will, Saturday afternoon at 1 Eastern. Two more spots to be decided with the play-in games tonight in New Orleans and Miami. We'll touch on those again a little bit later when we go through some NBA playoff props, lightning bets in the third hour as well, alongside Joe Ostrowski and Aaron Hawksworth. I'm Chris Mack. Stanley Cup playoffs start this weekend, too. That field has been set. Michael Leboff of the Action Network at the top of the hour, and anything else we don't get to in the two-minute drill at 11:20 Eastern. Thanks for joining us, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern every single day, live coast-to-coast on the BetQL Network on Twitch as well, twitch.tv/BetQL or on YouTube. Just search Odyssey Sports. Getting ready for these NBA playoffs. You see him on MSG Network. You see him on Stadium. And he's the host of Inside the Green Room with Danny Green. Harrison Sanford joins us on BetQL Daily. And just in time for the playoffs, Joel Embiid comes back. The Sixers win the seventh spot. Harrison, but he did not look like Joel Embiid. Certainly not peak Joel Embiid. And Aaron and I, who have been betting the heck out of the Knicks down the stretch, and I know you're a Knicks fan. I'm not trying to jinx anything, but we're licking our chops at Knicks Sixers.
Yeah, I'm licking my chops too. I cannot wait to be in the building on Saturday, man. It's, as a Knicks fan, it hasn't been this good in a very long time. And hopefully as a Knicks better, it could even get better for us going forward. I think they're going to win this series. Now, one thing I will say, I just don't know how, because you have a very unconventional head coach in Nick Nurse. And if I remember my time covering the Toronto Raptors, he has a billion different defenses that he feels comfortable throwing out there. Remember in the NBA Finals when they were playing against Steph Curry? He threw out a box in one. Like, what NBA coach throws out a box in one? And so with how good Jalen Brunson has been, I am staying so far away from any prop that's related to him, because he might throw out a trapping defense. He might throw out a zone defense. He might just go man to man. You have no idea. So when it comes to this Philadelphia and New York Knicks series, I'm staying away from any Jalen Brunson props. I think the Knicks win. I just don't know how. And obviously with Joel Embiid, it's not a wise bet, in my opinion, to bet on him, because we don't know what type of health he's going to have. And it might get worse as the series prolongs. So really got to stay away from that. For me, I do like a Dante DiVincenzo three-point prop, because he's somebody who's been consistent for the Knicks. And they love, even though they're a slow-paced team, they love to run on misses. That's how they got the Sixers to lose three games. That's how they beat the Sixers three games out of four this year, running on the misses. So Dante DiVincenzo's hit at least three threes in every game. In fact, he hit four threes in three of the games. Only one game he hit three. So I look at his three-point prop. I think the Knicks are going to win this series. So there's a prop out there right now on BetMGM. Knicks to win game one and to win this series. I think that's what happens, with the Garden crowd really infusing them for game one. But other than that, I'm staying away from Brunson. I'm staying away from Joel Embiid. I'm staying away from all the main guys, because that's what Tom Thibodeau and that's what Nick Nurse are going to really center on as we go into this series from a defensive standpoint.
Oh, those are some really good looks. And that series right now is being called a pick 'em. And there's another Eastern Conference first round matchup that's being called a pick 'em. It's the Bucks and the Pacers. But we don't know when Giannis is going to hit the court, if at all. What's your handicap with Milwaukee and Indiana?
Well, I think here, if you look to the regular, now the Indiana Pacers are not what they were when it was around the in-season tournament time. Tyrese Halliburton is just not the same. But with this week of rest, I'm going to make a bet on him and I'll make a bet on the Pacers that they can get this together. We're just hearing way too much negative commentary coming out of Milwaukee. And that's not even including the Giannis Antetokounmpo situation. Right now on BetMGM, there's plus value to bet the series to go under 6.5 games. I think there's a real chance that the Pacers pull this off in five. And if you have, because you have to think about this as well. Let's say the Pacers pick off game one. Are they going to rush Giannis back for game two, knowing what happens when you rush a guy back from a calf injury? It could very well mean he loses next season as well if the injury gets more catastrophic. So there's a situation here where they might be down 2-0 and they say, we're just not bringing Giannis back. This doesn't make sense. So if you want to get ahead of that market, I would take the series under with the Pacers winning if you want to do it. I wouldn't put a whole unit on it, maybe just a sprinkle, but I think it's worth investing because, again, if the Pacers come out early and show their dominance, which they have during the regular season, then what sense would it really make to put Giannis back out there? And if Giannis is not out there, this series is a wrap. The Bucks don't have anybody to guard the Pacers' perimeter attack, particularly Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah, kind of seems like Giannis might not be out there for quite a while from what it sounds like. What about Cavs Magic? What can the Magic do to challenge the Cavs? Obviously, the Cavs are the favorites in this series. I don't know why, but I really am pulling for the Magic. I can't help myself but want to bet on them.
No, I'll tell you why I'm pulling for the Magic, because what the Cavaliers did in the last game of the season was disgusting. Absolutely disgraceful. For them to pull out their starters that they had available for the game and pretty much concede to wanting the 4 seed when they had a chance at one point to be the 2 seed, that's nasty work. And I don't like that. That's not good integrity from a professional basketball team. With that being said, they should beat the Orlando Magic, but I can't necessarily guarantee that with how they look when it comes to the playoffs. JB Bickerstaff is under a lot of fire here. This team has poor spacing. Evan Mobley and Jared Allen, they just don't work. We saw it last year in the playoffs with the New York Knicks when the lights were too bright for Jared Allen and the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think they're going to have a real issue with this series. Magic are a great defensive team. One prop that I really like, and it's basing it on what I saw in person last year when the Cavaliers faced the Knicks. They squeezed the floor. Donovan Mitchell's going to have no space. As long as Evan Mobley and Jared Allen are out there, he's going to have to find shooters to give himself some space. Max Strus, right now, plus 500 to lead the series in three-point makes. He takes 7 per game. They brought him in from Miami for this particular reason because they need floor spacing. The floor is just crunched all the time, particularly in the playoffs. And with a team like the Magic, you're going to need to give him some space. So Max Strus, plus 500 to lead the series in three-point makes, I think is a very good bet, and that's obviously great value.
Before we pivot, Harrison, to the Western Conference, I want to ask real quick, has anybody stopped the Celtics in the East? I know some of us have tried to find a way for the Knicks, but they're not 100%, and who knows how healthy they are by the time the Eastern Conference Finals come around. You know, other than that, it's really hard to find a look, especially with Embiid looking the way he's looking, as I mentioned off the top. Does anybody slow down the Celtics?
Only person that could stop them, or only team that could stop them, is themselves. They fall in love with that three-point shot. We've seen it so far this season. They have lost games when they've had sizable leads just because they continue to shoot threes. But they shouldn't lose any series. Yeah, if the Knicks make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, they can give them a punch, but it's not going to be hard enough. The Milwaukee Bucks, if they get Giannis back, but no, they don't got it. It's just there's really no team on their level. It's up to Joe Mazzulla to call timeouts when he's supposed to. And it's up to Jason Tatum to not turn over the ball in pivotal moments, and they should be just fine. I have to, by default, I have to give them a good chance of winning the NBA Finals with home court, with a weaker Eastern Conference or nobody in their caliber. They should be rested for the NBA Finals, not just there, rested for it.
Okay, let's go to the Western Conference. 4-5, Clippers and Mavs. And it has, as the week's gone on, we've seen some movement in the series price. More and more Dallas love. We saw a lot of it late in the season because of their hot run. And here we are over at BetMGM. Dallas is a minus 135 series favorite. Pretty significant now just based on the movement. And also, you know, questions, of course, about Kawhi's health. What do you think?
Whew, man, listen, I don't like losing money. And I don't want to lose money just because I don't know what the status of a star player is. And that's exactly what we're having here. Kawhi Leonard, they could just be playing coy with it. He could actually be available. This could have been a shutdown so he could ramp up. We just have no idea. And Kawhi Leonard's camp is as quiet as they come. So for me, even though I would like to pick the Mavericks, what happens if Kawhi Leonard comes out there and balls out in game one? It's not out the realm of possibility. And so it's really a scary bet for me to propose. I think when it comes to betting this series, I'm just going to go live game by game, see what I see, and then move from there, because Kawhi Leonard is a finals MVP. And without a true knowledge of where his injury is, we frankly don't know. And why invest so much money in something that's truly an unknown? I don't feel comfortable doing it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was thinking the same thing this morning. Just wait and live bet it since he got that injection. It's like, who knows? And they're always so mysterious with Kawhi, even though they said yesterday, we're trying to be transparent. I'm like, please, that's like a lie. All right, let's talk about the Kings and the Pelicans. This one is interesting. Keegan Murray went off. What are you expecting in this matchup tonight?
Yeah, Keegan Murray went off, which is a good performance from him, because last year he only averaged 9.7 points per game in that first round series against the Golden State Warriors. But we have to remind ourselves that that was a home game. This one's going to be on the road. And I don't know if he's going to play as well. You know the saying, role players play better at home. So now it's really on De'Aaron Fox. But man, do the Pelicans have some wing defenders. Herb Jones is one of the best defenders in the NBA. Jose Alvarado, one of the best defenders in the NBA. So it's really, I think, going to be on Domantas Sabonis on the interior to really facilitate that offense and score. But Jonas Valanciunas is a pretty big body. I just don't see how the Kings manage to pull off the same type of performance, even though there's no Zion. I think there's enough options out there for the New Orleans Pelicans to be successful. And if you're CJ McCollum and you're supposed to be the leader of this squad, you can't be going 4 of 19 in the play-in game. I think he has a bounce back tonight, and I think somehow, some way, the Pelicans pull it off. And don't sleep on Trey Murphy III. He is a very good player. He can launch it from three. I think he's one of those players that's going to be a staple for New Orleans. They're going to have to make a decision on Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson, but I believe Trey Murphy is one of those guys who will be sticking around for a long time. He's got a bright future.
Harrison Sanford with us on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM. You can see him on MSG Network as well as Stadium. Hosts Inside the Green Room with Danny Green, which you can find inside your Odyssey app as well. Download it today. Follow and subscribe to get the latest episodes. How much can the Lakers test the Nuggets, Harrison, if at all?
I think they could give him a test. I think it really comes down to a couple of things here. Number one, D'Angelo Russell has to be better than he was last year. He can't be targeted like Jamal Murray was able to target him last year, and it's really going to hurt them without Jared Vanderbilt. But to their advantage, the Nuggets just don't have the same roster that they did last year. There's no more Bruce Brown. There's no more Jeff Green. And while Peyton Watson and Christian Brown might look good at home, I don't know if they can replicate that on the road. So that's something that you want to look out for in this series. As it pertains to things that I also like, LeBron James three-point props. There's a couple of guys, a handful, maybe two or three guys in the NBA that are actually strong enough to deal with LeBron James. One of those guys is Aaron Gordon. I think LeBron doesn't try to assert his paint scoring as much in this series and shoots a lot more threes. And to his credit, that man in year 21 is hitting a lot of threes. I think he hit about 39 or 40% this year, career high. Like, he's incredible. I'm looking at his three-point prop, that's for sure. And then I would also take a real good look at Jamal Murray to lead the series in points. We know Anthony Davis is going to be guarding Nikola Jokic, and we know that the Lakers on the perimeter don't have Jared Vanderbilt. Austin Reeves can't cover Jamal Murray. D'Angelo Russell can't cover Jamal Murray. Gabe Vincent's probably not going to get enough minutes to guard Jamal Murray. I think Jamal Murray is the key here, and so I would take him to lead the series in points. On a daily basis, I would be checking LeBron James' three-point props. He's just not going to try and bully Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon's not one of those guys that you bully to the basket. He's not built like that.
Are you betting on the T-Wolves defense or the Suns' big three?
Man, oh man. This is a wild series, man, because the Timberwolves, I really like them. I really like them to at least get to the Western Conference Finals, but this is a bad matchup. It really is, because if you look at the starting lineups here, who in the world is Karl Anthony Towns going to guard? He's not going to guard Kevin Durant. That's barbecue chicken, as Shaq would say. He's not guarding Devin Booker. He's not going to guard Bradley Beal. And because you already have Rudy Gobert, he's not going to guard Jusuf Nurkić. So you're really going to put a 6'11", 7', you know, bigger weight Karl Anthony Towns on Grayson Allen. And is Grayson Allen going to take advantage of that? I don't know. Is Karl Anthony Towns going to be able to run out to the perimeter as much? I don't know who wins this series, because that is truly something that's on Chris Finch and on Frank Vogel to exploit or try to hide. And I don't know who's going to win that coaching matchup. I will say this, though. If you look at, again, if you look at the series props and some of the futures markets, Grayson Allen to lead the series in three-point shooting is plus 350. Again, he's probably going to be guarded by Karl Anthony Towns. Karl Anthony Towns doesn't have the foot speed to run out to the three-point line all the time. And then we know Kevin Durant, while he can shoot threes, he likes to shoot in the mid-range. Devin Booker, while he can shoot threes, he loves the mid-range. Bradley Beal, while he can shoot threes, he loves the mid-range. Grayson Allen is their true three-point shooter who shoots at a volume. I would take Grayson Allen to lead the series in three-point shots, or three-point makes rather yet. And outside of that, I'm not touching this series. I don't know what these coaches are going to do with all these complex matchups.
Harrison Sanford, check him out on MSG Network as well as Stadium. And, of course, the Inside the Green Room podcast with Danny Green right here inside your Odyssey app. We appreciate the time, Harrison. Thank you.
No problem. Enjoy the weekend, y'all. Should be fun times.
Yeah, it's going to be. We can't wait. We'll preview the entire playoff field, every single series, starting less than 1 hour from now, 10:20 a.m. Eastern. Michael Leboff, top of the hour, to talk Stanley Cup playoffs, and we go off the board next here on BetQL Daily. It is BetQL Daily presented by BetMGM alongside Aaron Hawksworth and Joe Ostrowski. I'm Chris Mack. Lightning bets before we wrap up the show. And coming up in, let me do some quick math in my head, about 35, 40 minutes or so, we start a detailed look at every series in the NBA playoff field. Top of the hour, so less than 20 minutes from now, Michael Leboff of the Action Network to give us some angles and what to look for in the Stanley Cup playoffs, which that field has been set now as well. Their regular season in the NHL concluding last night. Plenty to get to, maybe some baseball bets sprinkled in, a full card today there. I know everybody, Joe included, is very excited about the new Taylor Swift album that is out. Been researching lyrics, searching social media, trying to figure out where and when the first song is going to leak and the first... I'll be honest. I should know more about this, Joe. I don't. Aaron, I don't know what you're up on. This is not like the heart of the plate for the BSO mafia either. Like, they're not paying that much attention to Taylor Swift. Like, there's a big gap in my knowledge around Taylor Swift and this new album and what's going on. I don't know what I should be looking for.
I don't either. I couldn't tell you one song, really. Not a Taylor Swift person. Don't listen to her music. So I am hoping that there's Travis Kelce references, but that's about all I know.
I'll hear about it over the weekend. But yeah, no, it was discussed last night. Wait, is it out tonight or tomorrow? Well, you'll be sleeping, but 11 p.m. it comes out. So I'm sure some of the girls up this morning already listening to it. I'll hear about it a lot over the weekend. And yeah. So will Alexa play it? Will it be allowed at that point? Like, I don't know what she does as far as album releases.
Do people dive into the lyrics and try to figure out who the songs are about? Is that what this game is all about?
I'm sure it's going to happen. And now it's in our realm. It's going to happen because of Kelce, right? So people are going to do that. Here's the thing. I don't care. Like, I just don't care at all. She's written songs about a lot of men. So I assume that Kelce's going to be one of them. And people will look too much into it. Think, what is this? Does he treat her like this or like that? Because her best stuff is her angry stuff, right? But she seems happy. So maybe the album's going to suck.
Maybe.
Or like you guys said, it just keeps going. Just when you think like she's dying off and going away, like her stardom rises again. And it's crazy. It's not like she's super young and just came off on the scene. Like, she keeps reinventing herself.
Yeah, so I looked that up yesterday because I was curious. I couldn't remember like how long Taylor Swift had been around, and it's been a while. This is her first single came out in like 2006. It's almost 20 years she's been around.
Oh, I believe that. I remember
it
that
didn't compute for me that it had been that long.
Do you remember when she looked like she was 12 and she had the curly long blonde hair and she was singing about Tim McGraw? Like that was before she probably even started dating. Yeah.
Right over my head. I had completely forgotten about all that.
It's country.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. It was country, but I didn't realize it was that long ago. Like,
hell
I didn't.
Yeah. She can go
see,
another
I think
20
you know
you
a
want.
Whole lot more. I think you know a whole lot more than you're willing to let on, Joe. I think
I knew more of the early days. Yeah.
Okay.
Because
Joe knows like, way more about Joe knows way more about Taylor Swift than I think anyone on this show.
Well, no, Chris has got to know more.
Wait, you're
no
because your daughter's
your
not
daughter
into it at all.
No, she's never been into Taylor Swift. No.
Wow.
What is she like?
She's weird. She's kind of all over the place.
Metal.
No black lipstick, no goth stuff. It's either hip hop or country. Those are the two things. Like taking her to the Zach Bryan concert a couple months ago, she absolutely loved it. She's also asked to go see like Nicki Minaj and Megan Thee Stallion and stuff like that.
Me too.
I know you have. I know you're a big fan. But we have not.
That tour? Joe's practicing his twerking for that concert.
don't even.
So tell me if I'm wrong. The 15-year-old wanted
been twerking
to go
for a couple of years. It's
you've been working on it.
Twerking.
I know you.
It's ridiculous.
I saw a 3-year-old kid twerking in my neighborhood. I was like, what are we doing?
It is funny. That's funny because it's a little kid, right?
Yeah,
like, it was.
But like the 15-year-old, and she was 14. She just turned 15 like a month ago. But she wanted to go, she and her best friend, to the Drake concert a couple months ago. But I was like, I'm not paying $500 a ticket just so I can tag along to chaperone you two. Like, and I'm not paying $500 for your ticket in the first place. No. But like they wanted at one point to go just the two of them, the two 14, 15-year-old girls.
Yeah.
And I was
no.
like, hell
never.
No.
Never
no.
in life.
No. Maybe when you're like 17. Maybe then. But like, I'm not letting you go to any concert at 14, just you and your best friend. Doesn't matter if it's Drake. I don't care if it's nothing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how innocuous it may seem.
I know I have a friend that works security at Lollapalooza, and I couldn't believe the amount of young kids that are allowed to go to Lolla all weekend by themselves.
No like, way.
And I think I went to my first concert by myself with friends when I was like 17. And would I now at 17 allow my kids? Hell no. All these years later, how much more I know, how much worse is everything's
well,
gotten?
That's,
absolutely
see, that's
not.
The difference. We know, Aaron, exactly what we did when we were teenagers, so we're not going to let that same mistake be made.
I was a senior in high school at my first concert, too, and now that I'm a mom, no way.
What was it?
Not even with air tags in your shoes.
Right. These kids all have air tags, whether they know it or not.
Yeah.
What was your first concert, Aaron, at 18?
Oh, what remember? Was it? The Hard Knock Life Tour. It was like Jay-Z.
Jay-Z.
Wow. I should have known.
Yeah. It was pretty aggressive. It was in Tacoma. Uh-huh. Probably shouldn't have been there.
Probably shouldn't have been there as the smoke accumulated under the roof of the Tacoma
right.
Dome. Yeah.
Oh, my god.
Let's see if we can sub out an entire 20,000-seat arena. What was yours, Joe? What was your first concert?
Oh, that was Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Okay.
With, I don't know if you remember, the Toadies. They were one of the openers.
Yeah, Possum Kingdom. Yeah.
Yeah, that was an awesome album at the time.
Was
Method
tonight.
Man on that tour? Era?
Yeah.
Redman?
I mean,
that would have been incredible.
Oh.
Yeah. Right at like the peak of their stardom with like how high. I remember in college sitting there watching that movie on repeat with my roommates. How High with Method Man and Redman.
Yeah. He's like the sixth name.
It was so good. Like, I'm proud of myself for going, but wouldn't want my daughter attending.
You got to pick a good one for the first concert. Chris, what was yours?
Wyclef at Rec Hall in State
College. Oh, nice.
And I still don't know to this day if it was part of the show or not, but about 30 minutes in, they stopped the show real abruptly and claimed there was a bomb threat. And I was like, this is it. But then, like, 15 minutes later, they come back out on stage and everybody, like, it's you know, it's a bunch of 17, 18 year olds. We're all like 1,000% amped up even more because we just stood there for 15 minutes and waited for the show to restart. So I'm not sure if it was part of the deal or not, but yeah, Wyclef and it would have been 97 or 98 was my first, right around the same time. David Dykstra just mentioned it in the chat, since he's working the board right now, Woodstock 94. I wanted to go to Woodstock 94.
So
I remember being jealous of older kids in high school who were going to Woodstock 94, and there was no way in hell, in a million years over, my mother was letting me go on some road trip with older kids to upstate New York for God knows what.
That was never happening. Never. No. But, boy... I can't get enough, like, the documentaries on it. Like, it's still like, how did this all happen? It is.
Well, 99 is the one that went off the rails.
Oh, that's
it?
Right. Oh, you're talking about 94. Yeah, you're right.
94. I wanted to go to both, and I didn't
end
up going
to 99.
Yeah.
99 is the year I graduated high school. I remember that Party Like It's 1999 song was just the theme all year round.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Was. The documentary on Woodstock 99 though is mind blowing because you're instantly transported back to that moment and like all the testosterone fueled nonsense of like Korn and Limp Bizkit and all that. It's very easy to transport yourself back to that time and go, what the hell were we all thinking?
Yeah, I know. It's kind of disgusting, quite honestly. It's like, oh God, I hope I wasn't anything like any of these guys. But yeah.
So that's the real come to Jesus moment 25 years later when you're like, I don't want to think I was,
but I knew all
that
these people.
Douchey, but I knew all of them. Associated with those people. So I
Correct.
May have been.
Yeah. And had a red Yankees hat. So
you did?
I think it was a Cardinals hat. As much as I hate the Cardinals, it was, yes, I had the backwards red hat, which I got for a Halloween costume and then just continued to wear.
How baggy were the jeans?
Oh, I mean, this shy of I would never go Jenko level, like the ones with like a tent on each leg. I never went that far. It was more like a Hilfiger level baggy with, you know, the carpenter's thing on the side that nobody ever used.
Yeah.
Were they jeans, and you weren't building
jorts?
Anything with those jeans.
Some cords?
No jorts. No, never jorts.
Okay.
flashbacks. Stanley Cup playoffs, they get started in just a couple of days. Before we go headlong into the NBA playoffs series by series, we get Michael Leboff of the Action Network next. Talk about what to expect from the puck drops here on BetQL Daily.